Hello, welcome to another Nugget of Truth. For more free audios, videos, and resources, go to PastorVicksNuggets.com. Now, today's episode continues with the sixth basic principle of Christianity spelled out in Hebrews 6, 1 through 3, and that is eternal judgment. Now, there are two significant judgments that every Christian should be aware of. First of all, the Bema judgment, and then the White Throne judgment. In the last episode, I briefly covered the Bema judgment. The Bema judgment is the judgment that all believers in Jesus Christ will experience. It will not be a judgment that determines salvation, because that's secure in Jesus Christ. But it will be a judgment to determine rewards. But before we go on to the great White Throne judgment, I feel I need to say some things about the word works and judgment and judging. These terms are used throughout the scriptures involving eternal judgment. So let's look at the word works. When the Bible talks about works, it's often in relation to the Old Testament and the law. Works in particular, good works, or works of righteousness, were very important in obeying the law of Moses. The practicing Jew was expected to do at least one mitzvah, or law, each day. And that is some kind of good deed. For example, a mitzvah could be showing kindness to a stranger. Now, of course, if there are righteous deeds, there must be unrighteous or evil deeds, which are contrary to the Jewish law. When one knowingly and willfully performed an evil deed, it resulted in condemnation. So observing the Torah, the Hebrew Bible, was filled with regulations or works to protect the Jews from condemnation. Tradition has it that there are 613 laws based on the first five books of the Torah, or what we call the Old Testament. Every practicing Jew had to observe these laws in order to be considered righteous or in right standing with God. Now, let's jump to the New Testament. Now, should a Christian do good works? Well, of course the answer is yes. But what is important to note is that works, righteous or even unrighteous, are not the basis of our salvation. In the New Testament, our salvation depends upon repentance and believing in Jesus Christ alone. We repent of our sins, we repent of not believing or trusting in Him, and now we're turning our lives over to Him. So, now how do works come into the picture, especially as it relates to eternal judgment? Well, works, whether righteous or unrighteous, are evidence of a person's faith or lack of faith in God. Now, of course, as a believer, we want to please God, and so we order our lives in words and deeds to please Him. Now, here's where it gets a little tricky for us, especially as human beings. When we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, are we instantly changed in the natural? Well, we know that spiritually the change is instantaneous. But let's face it, habits and practices developed over a lifetime take time to overcome. And as Christians, it's often difficult to not judge another behavior and then conclude that they are not true Christians. The question is, are they new Christians and pretty rough around the edges? I think we can all speak to that. Or are they mature Christians and should know better? Or thirdly, are they in fact not Christians? We tend to measure maturity by years lived. But Christian maturity is based upon the depth of the relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I remember a saying that I heard long ago. It's not how long you've been on the road, but how far you've traveled. Now, there are some individuals that may have accepted Christ 20, 30 years ago, but they've not traveled or matured very much. As a matter of fact, they may not even look like model Christians. Now, when the Bible talks about judging, it's often in the context of condemnation. In other words, we're dealing with heaven or hell. Now, the scriptures are clear that we're not to judge anyone based upon their works or their words. Matthew 7, 1 through 5, Luke 6, 36. Now, this is because we can only see the outward working, but only God is able to examine the heart or the motivations. And 1 Corinthians 4, 5 speaks to that. Now, We can never know if another person is saved or not. Not truly. Because God is the judge of the motives and the intents of the heart. Every believer is a work in progress. Now, this is not to excuse bad behavior or condone it. But we need to realize that we don't know the end of someone's life. Now, what we are encouraged to do is to examine the fruit in a believer's life. That is to look for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which comes with Christian growth. Now, what are those fruits? Well, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tells us that. Now, perhaps you've heard it said that we should not judge a wine before its time. Now, this simply means that the wine won't taste very good until it has matured. And this is exactly the point I'm trying to make. As an example, this statement fits very well into the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, if you were to look into the first part of Paul's life, you would know that his name was Saul. And Saul was a religious, fanatical Pharisee. As a matter of fact, he described himself as a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he took it upon himself to wipe out a new radical cult called Christianity. And of course, he saw this as a threat to Judaism. Then there was that fateful day. While on the road to persecute the Christians in Damascus, he encountered the risen Christ. Acts 9, 1 through 19. Then everything changed for Saul. His name changed, his identity changed, his destiny changed. He would eventually embrace everything that he sought originally to destroy. He would inspire thousands for Christ and suffer greatly for the cause of Christ. And he would also be responsible for writing most of the epistles or the books of the New Testament. Yet, and a very big yet, after his conversion, most Christians at the time would not even associate with him. Acts 9:26. He didn't look like a Christian. He didn't act like a Christian. Yet, inside, he was sold out for Christ. The word tells us that he went into isolation. He separated himself from the mainstream Christians at that time. He spent time with the Lord and received profound revelations from God. And so he matured and he matured until some 14 years later, he came out of the quote-unquote closet, so to speak, and he began his ministry. And that is spelled out in Galatians 2, verse 1. The point is that almost everyone condemned this Saul Paul character. He can't be a Christian. Look at what he's done to Christians. But God knew who Paul would become. God did not look at the externals, but was able to see a heart that would be sold out for Jesus. In the same way, we as believers need to be very careful about judging others. In a sense, when we judge condemnation, we are taking the job that only God can do, and he does it perfectly. Now, if this nugget of truth has been helpful to you, please like, share, subscribe, or follow so that others might benefit too. Thanks, and God bless you, and we'll see you the next time as we continue this series on eternal judgment.